Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, let's talk some baseball, though. It's been a bit since we had our guy, Josh Vernier, on the show, our Royals insider. And I look over, and of course, it's a number from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I know we're going to talk baseball, but I do have to start with his Wolverines, who are the center of a big upset over the weekend and the center of a lot of flag planting controversy, although I don't know why it was so controversial. What's up, Vern? How you feeling?
I'm feeling very good about those Michigan Wolverines. The only thing that's disappointing is I didn't play them on the money line. I didn't want to bet with my heart. So I just sat back and screamed my face off and was debating if this was the biggest win in the history of the rivalry. It's either this year or 1969 when they said that the number one Ohio State Buckeyes were obviously the best team in the country and the second best team was their second stringers. And a first-year head coach named Bo Schembechler took the game from Woody Hayes and the Buckeyes. No, it's a great time to be a Michigan fan.
No doubt. What about the flag planting thing, though, after the game? I mean, that there was four other games, I think, in college football where that occurred, and now you've got conversations happening in college athletics. Should they ban it? How it was all handled? Where do you come out on that? Because, like, you know about the rivalry more than I do. I mean, that for them, like, that's how much it meant for both sides. I get why Ohio State didn't like the flag being planted, but, you know, they also, you know, you lost a football game at home.
I thought the Michigan running back said it perfectly. You had 60 minutes to do all this fighting. Why are we fighting after the game and planting the flag, doing, symbolic gestures like that, it's really nothing new. Again, we could date back to the 60s when, I don't know if everyone knows, but many people know that when Michigan comes out of the tunnel, they jump and touch that banner, the M Club Supports You banner. Back in the 60s, Ohio State came out before Michigan got on the field and tore it down so that tradition would not continue. I mean, it's a part of the rivalry, and if Ohio State wins next year, I would fully expect them to plant the flag. The issue for them is this was their best chance.
Yeah.
Michigan just brought in a kid quarterback for $10.5 million. They're throwing money around left and right. Michigan's about to dominate the Big Ten once they've now entered the 21st century and entered NIL.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. All right, we haven't had you on since the Jonathan India move, and obviously there's, you know, repercussions of that. Other moves maybe could happen because of it. Let me just start with Jonathan India. We knew they needed a leadoff hitter. That was maybe their top priority other than bringing back Michael Walker, which they already did. So they get a leadoff hitter. Do you like that move? I mean, there were some other names like Alec Bohm floated out there. They end up going with Jonathan India, and it cost them Brady Singer.
Yeah, I think India is a better leadoff option than Alec Bohm. You know, when you first hear the rumors, it makes sense for both sides. I would be surprised if anyone is vehemently against this move. Now, personally, I'm always going to prefer 2 years of a league average starting pitcher over 2 years of a league average second baseman. So there's no question about it. It's a gamble, right? Pitching is the currency of this game. But Brady Singer, for as much as I'm a fan, for as much as there are a lot of Brady Singer fans listening, he's your fourth best arm, right? He's your number four in the rotation entering 2025, no doubt about it. So to pay your number four starter in a market like this, north of $7-8 million, that's pricey for a number four starter, especially when you have an offense that is suspect and it appears you have a bullpen that can be a little bit more reliable. So to spend that portion of your salary, which is going to be somewhat similar to last season, at least that's where it lines up right now, to spend that much on your number four starter when you have as many issues or question marks in your lineup. Again, it's a gamble. but it's an understandable gamble. It's a maybe even necessary gamble. Because, listen, losing Brady Singer, of course, you know, if Waka or Lugo or Reagans go down, you're going to be in a world of hurt. But that was the case last year with Singer. I don't think the Royals ever looked worse than that 2.5-3 week stretch when Michael Waka was out. So the concerns of, well, what happens when and if an injury pops up, because it didn't last year and it's likely to this year, yes, that's a concern with or without Brady Singer. The only thing that I don't want to say found puzzling, but the only thing that left me wanting more is the control being the same, right? Trading away 2 years of a bona fide league average starting pitcher. And I know that doesn't sound like high praise saying that he's league average, but it is. Those are tough to find. Shoot, look at the Royals draft picks for the last 20 years. They have three, maybe four league average starting pitchers. So to part with 2 years of a league average starting pitcher, you would hope to get 3 or 4 years of control of a position player. But listen, Jonathan India is a guy that's not going to need any sort of honeymoon period. This is a guy that's going to jump right to the start of the right to the top of the lineup and should have expectations to deliver. And that's really what these next 2 years are going to be. If you're into judging trades, it's a mano y mano. You know, who could perform better over the next 2 years, and that'll determine who won this trade. Now, JJ Piccolo's been hitting at such a high clip, you tend to lean that he's likely right, and you wonder, is there a next step for Brady Singer, right? This is something that you and I, we've talked about for years, and we've never really seen that next step. Had a nice first half last year, but never showed enough to say he's the number three. He's the number two on this team. So you can understand JJ Piccolo saying, I think we've got the best out of Brady Singer. So even though we're not getting extra years of control from this position player, it's still someone that makes us better in 2025. Than we were in 2024. A gamble nonetheless, but a necessary gamble in a market like this.
We're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Fernier, here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, a lot of people are I'm sure, listening, wondering, okay, well, where's Jonathan India play? Because we heard JJ Piccolo. It seems like they weren't at least publicly to commit to a specific area. They were more concerned about getting the leadoff hitter. Does this mean there's another move coming? Where do you think Jonathan India ends up playing on opening day?
Yeah, I think he's a second baseman. I think he's your everyday second baseman. Michael Massey can, I guess we'll see what the roster looks like come spring training. But Jonathan India is your second baseman. I don't know, Alec Bohm, you mentioned him a moment ago. That's an option over there at third base. I know you have a Michael Garcia. Massey, I guess, could bump over to third base. I think there are questions about his arm over there at third base. But listen, and we talked about this over the course of last season. Can you really go into a 162 game season where there are legitimate expectations on this team, right? There are expectations for them to compete for a playoff spot. I think that's a fair, not win the division, but compete for a playoff spot. Can you go into a season giving Michael Massey the second base job when he has shown you over the past two seasons, yes, he's a quality player, but you cannot bank on that back. So, Jonathan India, I want some stability up the middle, to be quite honest. I want Bobby to play with the same second baseman a majority of the time, and I think that keystone combination now between Bobby and India is pretty well set.
There was some reporting in the last couple of days, I believe from Ken Rosenthal, if not some others as well, that the Royals would maybe prefer to add a middle of the order bat through a trade. Maybe that's not going to come through free agency. And if the Royals were to add another arm, that move would maybe come later in winter. We know winter meetings are coming up next week or whatever, or this week. Yeah, next week, I guess it would be. Yeah. So do you believe that that's in order? Like, do you believe that they still need to go find another middle of the order bat? And is that where we get back to what we were just discussing with, an Alec Bohm type?
Yeah. Bohm would be the first one that, because to me, I'm looking at someone that, it's a 1 year deal. It's 1 year and a player option. That's the type of asset I think this organization could responsibly acquire via a trade to bring in a guy that is a true middle of the lineup bat for multiple years. I don't think anybody on the big club is going to warrant that type of return. A Michael Garcia, a Michael Massey, MJ Melendez. I don't think they get it done. I think you need to look to some of your top prospects in the system. And I don't know, man. I just keep coming back to, what is the goal right now? Obviously, it's to improve. But are we building a World Series or bust team? Are we building a division title or bust team? Or are they going to continue to do what John Sherman asked them to do 3-4 years ago, and that is, you know, build a team that's consistently adequate, a wild card team? And if you're attempting to build a wild card team, yeah, I love the idea of bringing in a pitcher a little bit later in the winter, especially with what this pitching department and this front office have done over the past few seasons with bringing in, you know, a revamped bullpen, finding a Cole Reagans, taking the chance on Seth Lugo, Kyle Wright. I trust this organization as far as finding that number four, number five swingman starter that can hold down the fourth until Kyle Wright's ready, or can spell a Chris Bubich if and when he needs some time off, because he's going to be under an innings limit in 2025. But as far as that middle of the lineup bat, yeah, that would be terrific to acquire. Is it, if they don't, does my expectation change? No. With or without a middle of the lineup bat, I'm looking at this team to compete for the American League Central title. I like the organization putting it out there. I would prefer them spend money and just go get a free agent rather than having to part with something that you prize in the organization. Personally, I'm not holding my breath on that big bat being a big splash as far as someone that the average baseball fan knows, because I don't think Alec Boehm, even with his Wichita State ties, I don't think Alec Boehm's a guy that comes, you know, falls out of the mouth of the average baseball fan. So I would love to see them bring in that.
Hey, look, you know, Soto's only up to $600 million now, so they're in play, you know, they're totally in play there too.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't that just seem like a different sport, right? That the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Yankees are all competing for Burns, Soto, and the rest. It would be great to have Anthony Santander, but I'm not holding my breath.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. You mentioned Chris Bubich's name. We all saw he was very effective in the bullpen, and so a lot of people are saying, hey, why mess with that? But you alluded to it. It sure seems like they want him in the rotation, and even if that means he's, you know, can only be able to pitch 130, 140 innings next year.
Yeah, and he's another guy like Brady Singer that could be a perfect trade candidate. If he comes out and pitches his tail off in the first half of the season, because like Brady, you have him this year and next year, and then he's a free agent because, like Brady, debuted so quickly in that 2020 season, he hits that super two. So Chris Bubich, another guy that, and we talked about this throughout the past year and a half. I know you and Cody had plenty of conversations about it. You watch what Tampa's done over the years. You watch what Cleveland's done over the years. They don't sign starting pitchers to long-term deals. They trade the Savalis, the Klubers, the go on and on and on, the Blake Snells. They let them all go. So Chris Bubich, a guy that's already dealt with Tommy John surgery, even though he's got that bulldog mentality in him, if he can come out and perform at a high level for the first half of the season, that could be your trade deadline target that allows you to bring in something else of note if needed. Now, a lot of this depends on Bubich and Wright and Lynch and Noah Cameron. And, you know, how does that number four spot shake out? Now, I say you can trade Bubich, but if, you know, Seth Lugo goes down with an injury and Bubich is the guy filling in, things can obviously change. But yeah, I've been a big Chris Bubich fan since he debuted in 2020, just because of his mentality, his doggedness on the mound, his relentlessness on the bump. I'm all for it. I want him to be a starter. I know he has the goods. The question is can that body hold up?
Right. I'm good with Bubich back in the rotation. I'm good if they have to even do something with Alec Marsh there. The only player that I'm kind of done with in the rotation and I'm fine with him now just being a bullpen guy is Daniel Lynch. Do you think the organization is on that same page?
Maybe quietly, but when we get to spring training, I would imagine that you stretch them all out and you know, let the chips fall where they may, even though you and I believe those chips will ultimately fall with Daniel Lynch not being one of your five best starters. Now, is Kyle Wright going to be slow played in spring training? Is this someone that we won't see pop up until, you know, early May? Possibly. And if Daniel Lynch comes into spring training with the kind of confidence that he left the regular season with, maybe he can give you five, seven, nine starts to start 2025. And then he takes that confidence into the bullpen and joins a group with Harvey and Urseg, Sam Long, Angel Zerpa, and you got pretty formidable pitching staff.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact timeline on when Kyle Wright actually was hurt versus when Bubich was coming back from his injury, because it wasn't until July when Bubich returned in what they called a rehab year. So I wonder, to your point about how they'll handle spring training, could be interesting to watch for Kyle Wright. Last thing before I let you go, Vern, appreciate the time. Yesterday we brought up this MLB golden at bat rule that's floated out there. I don't think it's ever going to actually happen. Maybe you disagree. This sounds like just a weird video game mode on MLB The Show or something, and absolutely gimmicky. This is way different than adding a pitch clock.
Maybe I'm just being a little overreaction, you know, just being a little, it's embarrassing. It was embarrassing that it even got floated out there. It to me screams of like a kid's idea. Like, you know, we pulled a bunch of little leaguers and what they want to see. And now we're putting it out there for the masses. Listen, I understand. And I'm not trying to be an old fuddy-duddy that doesn't like change in baseball. No, give, you know, the NFL changes something basically every offseason. I'm fine with baseball doing that, but it doesn't need to be, in my opinion, it doesn't need to be so drastic. And you guys know where I stand on the things that I would change about this game. They're a lot more macro.
Sure.
This to me is silly and is reflective of an unserious commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to imagine, like, you know, what you, Bobby Wood Jr. or Shohei Ohtani, and it's like, hey, we struck him out in the bottom of the ninth. Now there's two outs. Well, actually, we're going to send him right back up to the plate now. I mean, just be the most ridiculous thing to witness. It's something that I said, maybe you do it in an all-star game, but even then it wouldn't work because the managers wouldn't want to, you know, it'd be a shot to the ego for a player if all of a sudden you pulled that guy out for a better player in that exact moment in an all-star game.
Right, because Bobby would then replace, you know, Salvi or Vinny. And, you know, Bobby was just up there battling for nine pitches against Corbin Burns. And now you're saying, get back up there and do it again. No, the whole thing just, again, seemed very unserious.